Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Something Christian disciplines like prayer, study, fellowship, worship, that list are the things that we must do to help us overcome sin, become more godly. But that's not true. These are simply the way that we grow in our love for Him. As we grow in our love for God, we are empowered to overcome sin. Love is the key, actually. Not those things. Those things just offer for us a vehicle. Jesus told the religious leaders, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life."
Today, Pastor Troy will remind you that many times with Christianity, it can become easy to think that the stereotypical practices such as praying, reading your Bible, and worshiping can make you worthy of God's love. Doing those things don't buy you love, but they do help you to grow in your love and respect for Jesus. Pastor Troy will also remind you that when you grow in your love for God, it empowers you through the Holy Spirit to overcome the sin that is looming over and in your life. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
When I gave my life to the Lord, I came forward. And I went back into that work environment. This is the military, and this is sort of a civil engineering, so you're going out onto job sites. So, you know, they're a coarse group of individuals. I'd go out on the job site. I found myself not fitting in, not as comfortable as I was. Like, wow, what's going on? What's happening? And I would also find myself talking to Him every now and then. Like, what's up with this, man? I like Him. He's actually nice. I understand Him a little bit now. And I would even get some of the heckling. Hey, what are you doing? You're talking to Him for? And his name was Sergeant Wood. Sergeant Woods, actually, I think with an S. Well, you're talking to Sergeant Woods now. You guys are getting buddy. What's up with that? Is that that church thing? And it was so hard on me to make that transition. It was hard. But the truth was I did. I found myself identifying with Him more than them. I just didn't know how to take it. When the Jews came to Christ and began to identify with Paul and the other apostles, they received persecution. Many of them lost their jobs, their families. I had my own family tell me, God gave you a brain. Don't just do strange things, because the Lord directed me. He was leading me to get out of the military after 10 years. 10 years! I'd be retired now. Some still remind me of that. Now I'll never retire. But at 10 years, it was like the Lord was saying, I want you to get out and serve me full time. And I had family members who were, God gave you a brain. God gave you a brain. Use your brain. Don't do a foolish thing. But I knew I was not totally using my reason, because my reason said security, important, military, security, important, military. You know, I was linking all of that stuff, paycheck. But I still couldn't shake the burden on my heart that God had placed there. And so the choice was this: walk by faith, not by sight, or walk by sight and not by faith. I was getting out to serve at that time in a church that wasn't even really a church. I mean, a meeting in their apartment. Yeah, I'm going to go full time. And then as I'm already getting out, I guess when it was too late for me to turn around because of fear, I go, what am I doing? They can't pay me. I don't know what I'm doing. And God blessed me, and God blessed that time. My dad ended up moving here. We were able to live on the combined income of me and him. God just did so many things to show that He had a way of doing things that I didn't see. And He provided for me all that time, including the GI Bill that I had. Of course, my work at that time was then going to school. so that I could receive an income. But God took care of me. And I remember one of the questions I asked was, I was driving one day, and in the military, you don't set up hospital appointments. You get one in the mail. You will be at this hospital, this doctor, this time. So you got your routine exams, you got your eye exams, everything. You're taken care of. You'll be there. You will be there. And I think they usually put arrive 15 minutes early, you know, all that stuff. So you get there. And I was driving one day, and I was like, I haven't had an exam or an eye exam. What do I do in an emergency? What do I do out here? I don't know. Are you supposed to bid? I mean, if I've got an emergency, I can't call 5 hospitals and get the top 3 bids. I mean, how do you do this? You know, I had no clue. I was clueless. But I was following the Lord. And you know what? I never had to worry about all of that stuff. I never had to worry. I did worry. I didn't have to. If I would just trust the Lord. So they lost everything. But the author reminds them that they've already endured so much, that they were willing to do certain things once they were illuminated, when they were realizing that God loves them and the degree of that love. So why turn back from Him? Why would you do that now? Some think Christian disciplines like prayer, study, fellowship, worship, that list, are the things that we must do to help us overcome sin and become more godly. But that's not true. These are simply the way that we grow in our love for Him. As we grow in our love for God, we are empowered to overcome sin. Love is the key, actually, not those things. Those things just offer for us a vehicle. Jesus told the religious leaders, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." They understood the Scriptures. They knew the Scriptures. They could quote them and spit them out and adjust their life because of them. But they missed Christ. And with no Christ, you have no power, no relationship, is what I mean. They were able to endure, these Hebrew believers, because they had confidence in God's love for them, that He would be there, which gave them a greater love for Him and a greater love for what was ahead. They could endure. Verse 35, he says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry." That's the promise that they have. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." So the last thing he gives them is a faithful affirmation, affirming what he has seen in them up to this point that makes him confident that they have a genuine relationship with Christ. He says, "Upon the understanding, the enlightenment of who Christ is, how much he loves you, you are so confident and bold for Christ. Don't lose that, because it comes with great reward." Don't lose it. And then he explains, you need endurance now. It is going to be hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. You need endurance now, but he's coming again. He promised he will, and that we will receive that promise. And it'll be worth it. And then he reminds them again, that fearful exhortation, God has no pleasure in those who turn back from Christ. But then he also flips it to the positive again. He says, "But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." We are genuine, and I have seen it in your response to him. You are the real deal. The point is, if you believe in him and you invest yourself in him, you won't turn back. How can you? You're way too invested. We said that the Christian disciplines, prayer, study, fellowship, worship, prayer, study, fellowship, worship, that these are not the key to overcoming sin. or growing in the Lord, but that the love of the Lord is. So, if that's true, where's the disconnect? If we engage ourselves in these, how do we increase our love for the Lord? Well, the way we increase our love for the Lord is by prayer, study, fellowship, and worship. Here's what I'm saying. These things, by doing them, don't help us. We must experience Christ in them. When we pray, we have to connect. You can't just come and throw words at him and move on and expect that's done any good. When you study, it's to know him, not just to go, oh, great, I can defend my points now. Wrong. You're not growing at all. You're not fed. You're dying. You're going to become a legalist, a lawgiver. We have to connect him. When we worship, you can't just stand there and go, ah, I like that song. That's a good song. Oh, I don't like that one. Oh, what happened to the electric guitar guy? Well, he didn't come in there. What happened? You can't, that's not worship. The worship that we do in the beginning of a service is adoration. Obviously, we're not bringing in something and laying it on an altar to sacrifice it. We are adoring our Lord in song. There's a whole ambiance. And we stand in his presence, and with the help of words that were written, hopefully the words that we select in the songs that we choose are inspiring. God, inspired by God. They aid us when we don't have our own words to just be in adoration of who the Lord is, to connect. Or your worship, it'll be unfulfilling, it'll be incomplete, and who would want to come if you don't like music? Prayer, study, fellowship. We can't just come and hope I make friends. I hope I make friends. Because then there we are. Oh, I love me. But if we come and go, who can I minister today? Who can I bless today? I don't have much, Lord, but if you'll just bring one person, I might be a blessing too. That would be a blessing to me. That's what fulfills us. These are the things that we need because they drive us toward him so that we know him. We don't need these things for the sake of these things. Prayer, study, fellowship, worship. We could, just like the Israelites, go through these motions and God could say, stop it. I don't want it. I don't want your song. I don't want you to sit there and babble in prayer. You don't even talk to me. You talk at me as if I'm not here to respond or say something or interject. I don't want these things.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. As we get to know him more, and these are the things that we do to spend time in his presence, that we might know him more. As we do these things the right way, not missing out because of our short-sightedness in them, we get to know him more. We invest ourselves in him. And as this happens, guess what happens? Our love for him increases. Our zeal for him increases because to know him is to love him. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We often kind of quote that backwards in our minds. Wherever my heart is, that's where I'm going to go. But that's not what it says. It says, whatever you treasure, value, your heart is going to go there. So when our heart goes other places, it's because our heart is for those other things more than for the Lord. We don't love him like we ought. And it's not because he hasn't first loved us. It's because we haven't spent enough quality time in his presence with him. Maybe we do all those things, those Christian disciplines, but we never connect. It'd be like, there's sometimes when I try to charge, one time I tried to charge my phone, but I didn't make a good connection. I didn't realize it, but I know I did notice. I didn't hear the plink, you know, that noise, plink, it's in, but I didn't really, I just didn't pay attention. I had other things to do. I was a little distracted. So the next day, I get up and there's my phone. It's almost out. My phone's almost out. As Christians, I believe we do this so much. Where's the power? Where's the power? I'm running on empty. Where's the power in my life? You haven't been plugging in very completely. That's where you're dying. Oh, I wouldn't question your love for the Lord and your desire to do great things for Him. But there's no power in your life to do it. There's no power to overcome sin because the connection isn't being made like it ought to be made. So these things, we need to do them, but we need to do them right, wholeheartedly. In fact, it's a devotion to prayer, study, fellowship, those things that help impact our worship, which increases our love. We are to invest ourselves in the Lord. Because when we invest ourselves, love increases. Let me give you an example. I was an avid Cowboys fan. And it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like at 8 years old or whatever, I just go, bing, I'm a Cowboys fan. It just suddenly hit me. That didn't happen. You know what happened? It was many years of watching them with my dad. Watching them and siding with them. I lived through some difficult times with them. The catch against the 49ers that obviously lifted the 49ers and began their years of success. And I was on the wrong end of that and got all the persecution because of all that. So it just entrenched me. There I am. I'm holding on no matter what. Are you a true fan or not? I was a true fan. I remember living through the 1-15 season. That's one win. 15 losses. Grueling. But at least the one win was against the Washington Redskins, who was a rival. So at least I had that to boast in. At least we beat the Redskins. One time. We had one win. At least we didn't go over. I was held on to anything. But it built my investment in them further. You see what's going on? I empathized with them. My love for them was fostered through the years, and it ran deep. Someone who would just jump off the wagon to me was not a fan. Tar and feather them. I was affected. When they lost, I had a worse day. When they won, good day. I was an avid fan. But it wasn't just something that happened. It was fostered. It was invested in. I invested in them. After getting saved over time, I came to the realization no one on the Cowboys died for my sin. In fact, no one on the Cowboys even knew my name. None of them. But Jesus knows my name. He loves me. He's very busy, and yet He has time for me, and He loves me. You see, a genuine love for Him is something that must be fostered, invested in, or it just won't happen. They said, when you have your first child, you'll love them like nothing ever before. And so I was ready for that. I build expectations too high, you know. I'm just one of those guys. And so I was like, all right, man, I'm going to give me that baby. Give me that baby. Give me that baby. And I'm like, where's the love? I don't feel it. It's not oozing and gushing and all that stuff. Because Ophelia had had a rough delivery with our first child. And so I was still in shock. I was still like, you caused this, you know. And so it took me a little while to realize, man, that's my baby. I love him. And he was a little distorted at first, too, man. It was a rough delivery. So, like, is his head going to go, you know, what do I have here? The ears, are they going to come out, you know? All of that. So I had some concerns about, you know, the whole situation. But today, having invested some time with them, I could tell you, I've never loved my kids more. I think about my daughters and the fact that they'll one day be out of the home, married, and it breaks my heart. Actually makes me mad. Makes me mad at that young man, whoever he is. Because I love them so much. but it's an investment. It's why mothers today cannot have an affection for their children. We're in a time where that happens. There's no investment. It's a very selfish culture we live in. There's no investment of love. Well, these Hebrew believers were being encouraged to endure because enduring with Christ helped them to understand his love more and it increased their love for him. See, the more you love him, the more you are empowered to resist and overcome sin. You can walk through the beer aisle with no problems because I love Christ. Initially, in our lives, when we come to Christ, there's this surge of love many feel. It's an overwhelming, man, I want everything God has. I want to be around God. I want to be at church. There's just this zeal unlike ever again in your life, it seems. Because there's so much of his love that you've just realized and opened up to. The water is coming in for the first time and you're being filled up. This is why when some are saved, they have this zeal and commitment up front. They're getting rid of everything. They're burning records. I mean, everything's happening. But somewhere along the line, it fades. I don't know why. When we come to Christ, we're called to turn our affections toward Christ. Not back to the world, toward him. In fact, spiritual growth is a process of turning our affection toward Christ more and more. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Why? It's like that drained tank. There's no room. Vapor lock. There's no room for his love, which changes you, if all you got in there is a love for the things that you love. But when we truly begin to love Christ more, we begin to love him more than our sin. And we begin, almost effortlessly, to experience victory in our life. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." How do you know if you really love God? I just say it and I just feel mushy, the mushy kind of love. I cry in his presence. That's how I know. No, no, no. He said, here's how you know if you love me. 1 John 5:3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." You see what happens? We do what he asks us to do. We do things the way he wants us to, and it's not a burden. When that happens, you realize, man, I love God. I love him. Do you love the Lord? I know all of us would say we do, but I bet there's some investing that we could do in our relationship with him that would increase our capacity to love him and love others. It's time. It's time to check the phone on the side of the bed, that is our life, and see if there's a short, a disconnect, and to push that thing all the way in so that we engage completely with the Lord, so that we can be enabled, empowered to overcome sin, to love others, to live as lights and salt in this world that desperately needs it more and more. And that for as many Christians as there are, there's not a lot of light. There certainly seems to be even less power. My prayer is that for each of us here in this room, that will change.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.